Hi everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and our article about careers. Yesterday we started talking about Wired to Connect and how human connections give people a leg up, which means an advantage if they are looking for a job. And today we're going to continue our discussion. But first I want to introduce who I have with me in the studio to discuss this article. I'm Linda, and we have...
Hello, everyone. This is Josh. Glad to be back here talking to you about careers.
And what stood out to you about our article yesterday?
I think what really stood out was the part where it really said that networking is something that should take up the majority of your time when you're looking for career advancement. So the 30-70 split, I think, was something was a little bit surprising, but in the context of the article, it does definitely make sense.
Okay. And also, welcome.
Hi, I'm Linda C., another Linda. And from yesterday's article, yes, we emphasized that networking is very important. And there are different ways that you can go about networking. We talked about informational interviews, getting involved with professional trade organizations or associations, or even volunteering.
Okay. And I think for me, the sentence that I would like everybody to remember is that social media is just a tool to learn about somebody. You know, I think we have started to place a lot of emphasis on social media, and we also use it in professions, and we need to be careful. Our article emphasizes that human interaction is more important, and that's really where what you should be looking at. And this is from, I said this yesterday, this is written by a business columnist, so it seems to me this person should kind of know, you know, really the direction of hiring, okay, and where careers are going. So today we are going to look at some other aspects of being wired to connect, how we connect, and in our search for the job of our dreams. So let's turn to page 15. If you have your magazine with you, you can follow along and find it on your digital device if you've got it. And we're going to read on the left-hand column that first little section there.
A multifaceted approach. It's imperative that job seekers and others even casually interested first research new careers and companies using online tools, informational interviews, and other means. Social media has not replaced the power of face-to-face self-marketing through formal and informal networks. And often the spadework of seeking and meeting people must be viewed as a long-term investment. And the best networkers are in the business of helping others land a job. It's good for the spirit and builds a bank of personal goodwill.
So the author recommends that you use a multifaceted approach, which is an expression that we use all the time to say something that has different aspects or different sides or different parts to it. So here we're talking about when you're looking for a career, you need to do a lot of different things, and not just any one thing is really going to help you.
Okay. So we use this multifaceted in a lot of different ways, but here we're talking specifically about applying for a job. And in the very first paragraph, it says, it's imperative that if you are looking for a job, if you are a job seeker, imperative means it is just extremely necessary, right?
It's mm-hmm. essential.
It's mm-hmm. essential that you, in maybe if you are a job seeker or even if you're just kind of casually interested, you know, just want to see what's out there, what should you do, Linda?
You should first research new careers and companies using online tools, informational interviews, and other means.
Okay, so we are going to the internet here for this, okay? Informational interviews, not. I mean, right. Not you have to talk to the person. Mm-hmm. But really, you need to do your research first. Because actually, what you think you might be applying for is not what you really thought it was in your mind, right? Has that ever happened to either one of you? Have you ever gone thought, oh, this looks so interesting, like a job I'd like. And you go there and go, are you kidding? This is not what I thought it was at all.
I never got to the point of actually going there, but from maybe the title of the job, mm-hmm. it was very different than what, you know, I thought it would be.
So a little research goes a long way,
right.
so to speak.
It does. And, you know, if you've done your homework and you're talking to people about it, whether or not it's looking for an interview or trying to get through that HR hiring wall that we talked yesterday or networking, people will realize that you're informed as opposed to uninformed, and it's hard to recommend an uninformed person.
Right. I thought the second paragraph was quite interesting. It says that, you know, there's so much emphasis today on social media, but this article says that it has not replaced the power of face-to-face self-marketing through formal and informal networks. So what does the sentence actually say to you, Josh?
Well, it says that even though social media is out there, people use it a lot, but it still hasn't really replaced how important or how impactful or powerful face-to-face and self-marketing is. So actually interacting with people that you know and having the recommendations of people who are trusted in the industry in order to help you get ahead.
And basically that's kind of what you said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You said that if you interviewed somebody that it had a lot more weight after you got to know them and interviewed them personally than anything that you would find on their social network. Right?
Right.
That's
very,
kind of the
very
essence
true.
Of what you
mm-hmm.
said.
Exactly.
Do you feel that way too, Linda, or not?
Yes, to some extent. When you meet someone face to face, you know, you get to know them, you know, it gives you a more well-rounded impression rather than just seeing a one-sided, you know, Facebook profile or LinkedIn profile.
Right. And I think mostly we're talking about Facebook or like kind of social media, since LinkedIn, you have to be kind of careful because on paper, people, you know, you can kind of color or build up what you say about yourself, which is not really reality, maybe.
Sure.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
you have to learn to, like, read between the lines. That's mm-hmm. why networking is important, because people know you. So we see that I think that this is really interesting. And often the spade work of seeking and meeting people should be a long-term investment. So this word, spade work, this has got to be a new or made up kind of usage for this word. A spade is kind of like a shovel, mm-hmm. but with a sharp end, right? And we usually use this when we're talking about gardening.
Exactly.
We do. A spade tends to be a small handheld tool.
So it's even harder to use.
Right. And usually it's kind of, you know, if you're working in a flower bed, you have flowers or bulbs that you want to keep. But you have other areas that you need to work up. You need to do some very careful and kind of tedious work
mm-hmm.
in order to work the soil without damaging anything. And it takes a long time, and it's hands and knees. So it's, you know, it really is not necessarily the most pleasant, but it's work that you have to do if you want to have good results.
Right. So that's called spade work. And mm-hmm. we usually use it when we're talking about, like, loosening the ground, maybe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of taking off that, breaking up the ground, getting rid of that first hard layer, but also protecting what's there. Mm-hmm. Then you use a spade. A shovel, actually, you can stand up when you do it, and it's much bigger and broader. So it's kind of interesting their use of the word here.
Right, but it's just to refer to the hard work that's done in preparation for something, and that you have to do it in order to get results.
Right, and it in our vocabulary-focused sentence, it actually says maybe sometimes it's boring as well. You know, so sometimes background checking or really looking at something detailed when you're, like, want to meet people, you know, you might mm-hmm. find it kind of boring, but it is very necessary, or else the product is not going to come out
right
as we think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true when you're doing yard work too, right?
Very true.
So the best networkers are in the business of helping others land a job. Notice that use of the word land. Land here, if you land a job, you just get a job. And it says that this kind of networking is good for the spirit and builds a bank of personal goodwill. That's kind of an interesting phrase.
It is an interesting phrase, and it also kind of reminds me of another phrase or term of, like, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
That
if you do me a favor, or if you help me out, that in the future I'll be inclined to help you out as well.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it just refers to creating good relationships with people. So, yeah. So you guys will do good things, favors for each other in return, as Josh previously mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is, you know, we're just explaining this so you'll know how it's used, but it's not something we would really say when we're talking.
No, I don't really refer to building my bank a personal goodwill.
No.
Too terribly often, I would say.
No. Okay, well, let's continue on. We're going to read the next section here. It goes to it's in the left-hand column. It starts in the left-hand column and goes to the middle of the right-hand column.
Being kind to others. When I was looking for work, I knew nothing about networking, Lenny Newman, a veteran CPA, said. There were people who took time and helped me. Now I pay it forward. I get a couple requests a week from people who want to meet, and I generally never say no. Newman always advises networking job seekers to stay positive and look ahead. The windshield is wide and vast, he said. Don't spend too much time looking through that narrow rearview mirror. Job counselors stress again and again that applicants need to have great, accurate resumes and LinkedIn profiles that are positive but not embellished. And be ready to back up claims with achievements and job well done anecdotes, and references from colleagues past and present.
Not only in jobs or in careers, but also, you know, for humans, you know, when we're interacting with others, it is a good idea to be kind. Kindness goes a long way. And mm-hmm. sometimes it seems to be lacking. You know, we're so caught up in our own world that we can seem to be very cold in our approach to others. But here, the section title is Being Kind to Others. And, you know, you never know how far kindness goes and how it can really help other people. So this person said that when he was out looking for work, he knew nothing about networking. And this is from Lenny Newman, and he's a veteran CPA. And a CPA is a career I could probably never go into. A CPA is a certified public accountant. So it's somebody who works with numbers and money.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody here interested in?
Well, I like working with money.
Oh, yeah. If I have it, yeah.
Right.
I like spending it.
I also like numbers, too, but I don't know if I would have the dedication and focus in order to be able to work through numbers and figures like that day in and day out.
Right.
Well, if you see this word, a veteran CPA, it doesn't, usually when we see this term veteran, it means somebody who has served in the military for your country. But here, it's another use of the word veteran. It just means a person who has made it their career.
Sure, very experienced. Right.
Mm-hmm. So he says that there were people who took time and helped me, and now I pay it forward. What do you think about paying it forward?
Well, I think it's a good concept. And it's just, you know, instead of thanking someone or returning a favor that someone has done for you, you pay it forward. You do something for someone else. And, it doesn't necessarily have to be after someone has done a favor for you, but you can do it in anticipation, right, of maybe mm-hmm. someone doing something positive or kind for you in the future.
Right. What do you think of this phrase?
Paying it forward? Well, I think it's a phrase that a lot of people are familiar with, mm-hmm. and this idea that just because someone has done something nice for you, doesn't mean that you necessarily have to pay them back, but that you should at least pay it forward. So if someone has surprised you with maybe buying you a cup of coffee that you weren't anticipating, instead of returning the favor to them, that you should try buying somebody else a cup of coffee that they weren't anticipating in order to really return the favor in its original spirit.
Right, and you expect nothing in return.
Exactly.
I think
right.
That's the other side of it. So often when we do something for someone, we think it's about what we're going to get out of it.
Sure.
But that's not what this is about. So, you know, I think that this has been, I just think it's so interesting that this is, you know, in the last few years, this was a movie and a book, and, you know, we talk about it, but it seems like humans have been doing this for centuries.
Right.
And, you know, it does not help us one bit to be selfish in our approach to how we live our lives. So here we say that we see that he gets a couple of requests a week from people who want to meet with him, and he generally never says no. I thought that was very interesting. He seems to be paying it forward quite a bit. And I just thought, how do people request, you know, to meet with him? He must be maybe a well-known CPA.
Maybe, or field. Part of a well-known firm, you know, certainly that kind of prestige. Certainly within the accounting world, there are firms that are very prestigious and well-known within the field. And they do all sorts of things, not necessarily just in accounting, but also they're the type of firms who would be responsible for tallying results for the Academy Awards, for the Oscars, for example. And so that carries a certain amount of weight with it, a certain amount of fame. And so people looking to find people in those firms would then maybe go through their homework, looking at the social media and being able to contact them through email or through the department.
Okay. And what is something that Newman always advises people to do?
Stay positive and look ahead.
I think that's good advice for life in general, isn't it?
It definitely is. Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking for a job, it can be very, very disappointing.
Sure.
And it's easy to become discouraged,
right.
I think.
Because you have to deal with a lot of rejection before you get that acceptance.
Right. And that's true for people like applying to universities and schools of all kinds, or no matter what we do, you know, we have to learn how to deal with rejection. It's not us personally. You know, we're not being rejected as a person, but maybe it's not exactly what the company is looking for.
Right.
So I think we need to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then I like this next sentence. The windshield is wide and vast. When we talk about windshield, we're talking about a car.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you can see a lot more looking forward than you can looking back. Mm-hmm. And that's what what he says here. Don't spend too much time looking through that narrow rear view mirror.
All right. Yeah, it's a very clever analogy, right? Spend your time looking forward, right? Because there's so much more. The scope is so much greater rather than, you know, looking behind you and maybe regretting or, you know, thinking about what you did wrong because that's so narrow.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's gone, you know, so why? So what do we see? What do job counselors stress over and over to people?
Well, they need to have great, accurate resumes and LinkedIn profiles that are positive, not embellished. So this is going back to kind of doing the homework, right, but also using your profile and social media to make sure that it's accurate, that it reflects your strengths, your abilities, and that it isn't obviously something that's been made to look a little bit better than it really is, right, by being embellished.
If you embellish something, it is going to catch up with you. I mean, I've seen this over and over. People put a lot of things on their resume, and then when you ask them to do something, they're like, oh, yeah, I was kind of a support person.
Sure.
So it doesn't mean, you know, the way it's presented, you thought that maybe they ran the project, but in fact, they knew very little about it because they were only doing one little aspect.
Right.
So, you know, you need to be very careful about embellishing or making something sound much better than it really is. And if you're going to be making a resume, it's also important to keep it up to date and maybe tweak it or change it a little bit depending upon the focus of the job that you're looking for. depending upon what you want to emphasize. So I would encourage you all, if you're thinking about that you have to write a resume or thinking about doing one, to go online and look at styles and how you want to present yourself. There are a lot of templates out there, and about maybe the length of your resume, how detailed you want to be, all kinds of things. Anybody, either one of you have had any, you know, any suggestions for this?
Well, I also think the last part of the paragraph is important as well, because it also, so when you talk about your achievements, when you talk about your accomplishments, when you have your resumes tweaked in order to really be focused on the job that you're applying for, chances are you're going to be asked about it in an interview, because sooner or later you'll get face-to-face. So at that point, it is important to have stories or achievements that you can talk about, that as they happened, what you learned from them, what went well, what didn't, so that people know that the information you're putting there is really very genuine.
Right.
Right, and have good references on hand or prepared, that, you know, when they do call on them, that they'll be able to give a positive report or review of your work and your experience.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And remember that you don't just give friends as references.
Right. And definitely not family members.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of understood, but yeah. Definitely, yes. And then we see that there's one more aspect that they want to talk about here, call on a friend. So why don't we read this last little part right now?
Call on a friend. There are usually qualified candidates for every good professional job. The internet application provides the job leads, but not necessarily the interviews and offers. That's where a wide circle of friends and acquaintances and friends of acquaintances can make a difference. Social media and technology have not replaced the power of face-to-face networking, the human connections, Daly said.
So I'm going to call on Josh to tell us what this means.
Well, so Linda has asked me in a formal way in order to respond. So she's calling on me to talk about the usually qualified candidates for every good professional job. So, you know, for any position that you're applying for, there are going to be a number of people who are qualified to fill that position. But what really can make a lot of difference in the selection is this networking of people knowing someone through someone or knowing someone else. And I actually have a good personal story about this particular kind of connection. When Pauline, my wife, and I first came to Taiwan to work with ORTV, we had intended to come here and teach English. We were both very qualified. It turned out that at the time we were not aware that ORTV was hiring, but because Pauline's cousin used to work here and she knew the people and knew the recommendation, we were bumped to the top and we were given the position before everybody else. And so that was a question of knowing someone who knew someone who knew someone being kind of the deciding factor.
But I do want to point out you were interviewed personally.
We were.
Before you came.
That's true. It was not just off the weight of knowing someone. We were definitely talked to, interviewed, and given the references by someone who was very important to the organization as well.
Right. Okay. So you might not have gotten the interview without that reference.
Certainly true.
Right. It makes a huge difference having that human connection, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it is a friend of a friend of an acquaintance, right? Mm-hmm. Because once you have that in and you're able to get that coveted job interview, then you might already have the job even before an ad comes out, and they might just have to go through the formality of the whole application process and taking in other candidates and interviewing other candidates, but you already have the job.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's required by the company, some of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So remember, if you are really into technology and strongly believe in social media, they still have not replaced the power of face-to-face networking or the human connections. And that's according to Daly, who we talked about back, the founder of Navigate Forward, who helps professionals find jobs. So just remember that. It's really become a combination now, but not a replacement for. So we hope that you have enjoyed this perspective on career and being wired to connect on several different levels. And we wish you success if you're looking for a job or applying to schools. And hopefully maybe you've learned some tips about how to get that coveted job interview. And we wish you all the best of luck. And we also hope that you will join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom for another topic. Bye for now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.